How do you fancy the chance to shape the podcast industry? To tell us which shows, which sponsors, and which content you want to hear more of? To change the face of podcasting forever? I mean, it's not going to change your life or anything, but the Acast podcast panel is a pretty cool thing to be part of. Oh, and we'll pay you for your time. Can't say fairer than that, eh? Head to podcastpanel.co.uk and register your interest.
Over these bountiful potato fields, wind blows, sun shines, rain falls, day follows night. Hold on.
Let's ditch the gimmicky voiceover. All you need to know is the potatoes that make McDonald's fries come from British farms. Five varieties are specifically chosen to make those long, delicious fries we all know and love. Which is good to know. Served after 10:30 a.m.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah,
God, I love that banana.
Anderson. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers. Susie going toe to toe bin.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old broads. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also from the Rose Bricks Bachelor Roast Podcast, which comes back in just a couple of weeks. And here I am with my trusty co-host and bestie, Mr. Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which you can find on YouTube. Hello, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, it's such a good day. We've announced so many new shows for 2019, and they're already shaping up to be sold-out wonders. We just started selling Boston today. That's almost sold out. So we added a second show there, which is going to be on the 10th of April at 8 p.m. So tickets are on sale for that right now. So go get those because Boston sold out in, God, a few hours. So I mean, go get those.
Yeah. By the time it went on sale and by the time we got ready to record today, we already had to add a second show, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And D.C. is also on sale. And so is Irvine.
And also we're going to Just for Laughs in Vancouver. And we're going to a city that we're going to be discussing at length today, Dallas.
Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas also sold out in a couple hours. So that we added a second show there as well. So now we're going to have a show in Dallas on Friday and Saturday. So you can get tickets for the Friday show right now. Just go to watchwhatcrappens.com. You scroll down to the calendar and you will see ticket links there. You can also buy our limited edition t-shirts, all of the ones we've released this year so far. You can get those for the next 2 weeks over at watchwhatcrappens.com or crappensmerch.com. So go do that. And I think that's all the show before we get on with the Real Housewives of Dallas, eh, Ben?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. No, nothing else exciting to announce.
Well, it's very sad. It's a very sad day. I did not want Dallas to end. I mean, Bravo's adding tons of shows, and so, you know, I'm tired. But God, I love Dallas.
It's so good. And like, I was actually a bit sad that this was only two episodes long, this reunion. I mean, on one hand, I was happy because I find that actually recapping the reunions can be really hard because it's just like very dense. But then at the same time, I felt like certain things were kind of glossed over and I would have liked this show to get a three reunion treatment. But whatever, I'm happy with what we have.
Well, I'm never one to complain that the reunions are too short because normally, remember when they started doing four?
Well, they did it once with They only did that once with Atlanta. And well, that fourth episode was pretty, you know, epic. But there are times when a three episode reunion is generous and is totally unnecessary.
Real Housewives, like Beverly Hills
and Orange County. Yeah.
But this was not one of those times. I mean, hell, just put Mama D on the stage and just let her talk nonsense for an hour. I don't care.
Yeah.
Bring me that. Exactly.
But yeah, such a great season. It's a great, great season. People, you know, I feel like people who are in the know what's going on. Like, this is a show to watch. I have heard that the ratings are not as good as the other franchises, which is a shame because this show has really brought it all season long. You know, everyone has been involved in the central plot of the show. It's not like watching Atlanta right now where all the women are sort of just casually doing something and intersecting when they come together for some contrived dinner. You know, this is like they are all up in each other's business. This is how it should be. And if you haven't been watching the season, go back and watch it and get involved.
Well, how dare you call Nene's boobs and bourbon party contrived? How dare you, sir?
How dare I?
So this is the second part. So they've already been at it. Andy looked basically like both Sid and Nancy in the first hour of this reunion. And now I don't even know how he's standing up. His eyes are so bloodshot. I mean, if he was pulled over right now for, you know, in Bee Caves, Texas, his ass would be in jail. Okay?
Yeah,
you're drunk,
I mean,
sir. Sit down.
You know me, I rarely pick up on that stuff, but I'm like, damn, his eyes were like full on red. Either there's some crazy case of pink eye that like burst out in between episodes, or this man has like turned in a fire hydrant into a bong or something. Like, I don't know what's going on, but this man is stoned.
Yeah, and it's no secret, you know, he loves his playing around, which is good. You know, I don't care. I love that too. But girl, show up at work. I mean,
You're on the clock, sir.
Jeez. Okay, so we start this reunion with Andy just high as fuck. Like, the only shocker here is that he doesn't have a Snickers bar in his hand because, like, he needs some kind of snack. Stephanie is already sobbing. I don't know what Stephanie, like, found her voice and she's using it to cry a lot.
Yeah.
She's like crying over everything. I was like, why is she crying? Didn't they just have lunch? Like, what could have possibly happened at lunch?
They ate something. It's devastating. Stephanie's new thing is that before she says anything, she says, I love you so much. I love you, but I have to tell you. That's like before everything.
Yes.
That's how she proceeds every line this reunion.
I found my voice. So we open with possibly the best clip package of any Housewives reunion ever.
Yes, thank God.
This is pretty amazing. And he's like, well, when it comes to contributing to the conversation, Cameron may not be talking, but she's always nodding, something like that. And then we get a package of Cameron just nodding her head really big.
Just like all season long, just nodding like, She's like, I have a history of spacing off in conversation. I was like, I love that she's like, she's proud to admit that she just does not listen to you.
Yeah. She's like, when I start nodding my head and not talking, I'm on another planet.
You're also on another planet when you're on this planet too. So
yeah. She's like, if it doesn't have anything to do with pink or sparkles, dogs or distributors, like, I'm out to lunch, girl.
I'm having a wonderful Taco Bell. The fact that her attention is limited really only to sparkle and dogs and distributors is hilarious to me. Like, a very specific range that she can actually focus for, and then the rest she's just, you know, thinking of daisies.
And Andy's like, I thought you were just being judgy. She's like, it's so bad. It's my attention. And Stephanie's like, I just thought it was like, a habit. She's like, it's so bad. I never even knew I did it until I saw it on camera.
And even then, I didn't realize how bad it was because I was nodding most of the time I was watching myself.
He's like, did you find a partner for Dog Sparkle, whatever? And she's like, yeah, and I got a distributor.
I got a great distributor. So now I can spend less time worrying about distributors and more time having wonderful burritos that like remind me of Cabo San Lucas.
Chili con queso.
So were you pissed at Court, who was always rolling his eyes at you anytime you talked about business? She's like, yeah, it's really hard when he treats me like all the other companies he invests in, because that's what he does for a job. He invests in companies and then scowls at them.
He rolls his eyes for a living.
But at the same time, hey, I got his money. I still won. And Carrie's eyes just bulge like, girl, you don't say that on camera, girl.
And then Leanne, who's like in her positive place right now, she's like just the positive host of a talk show. She's like, I think she likes it because it challenges her when he rolls his eyes. And she's like, yeah. Because, like, proving to him that it'll work, it gets me off. Which is, like, the sluttiest thing Cameron's ever said.
Yeah,
I know. And even Deandra and Brandy have to crack up. Deandra's like, huh, she said it gets her off, mother.
Mother, do you hear this? She doesn't even have L22 in her company. She's still getting off. Hear that, mother?
Well, it's nice to see one storyline came full circle, and that is Cam finding a distributor.
It literally came full circle. So now we have a Cameron and Deandra moment where we get to look at their relationship and how it becomes strained. And we get the whole K-cup controversy and Jimmy and everything. And we have Cameron saying, it's a very slippery slope from a butt plug to a butt dart, which still doesn't totally make sense to me. I actually think it's like a fairly like standard slope from butt plug to butt dart. But also, I don't even know what a butt dart is. Second of all,
want me to tell you?
What?
Hold your second of all. I think she's saying that it's not a stretch from like blowing K-cups at your ass to being butt darted and taken to a hospital.
Right. That's what like I was starting to think. I was thinking like a wild elephant or something.
Yeah, she's like, you're going crazy, I think.
A tranquilizer. So here's a great example of Andy Cohen fully missing, or maybe it may not even be his fault. Maybe just the producers. Like, I wanted to know why there was so much discussion about the K-cup and why they kept calling it a K-cup instead of like a Keurig pod, right? Like, these things bothered me all season long.
Because K-Cup is the standard that anybody can come out with that fits in any Keurig pod. So they don't have to be called Keurig because you can't say a brand name on the air, which is why we have our friends Sashaw Madia instead of Tweeta.
Wow.
K-Cup. Look at me. I'm very smart today, okay?
So I also, like, why did Andy not say, what was the big deal? It's not like it was actually in her anus. She just, like, held it and then dropped it on the floor. To me, I still don't understand what was so controversial about that stupid moment, right? But it became something that plagued their relationship for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I think it was just Deandra's general, like, thirst to be accepted by a young person cheerleader. That culminated, like, the best example is, like, you blew a K-cup at your ass, you know? I like that Andy compared it. He's like, these big season society names squared off, like the Hatfields and the McCoys. And I'm like, yeah, that's totally how the Hatfields and McCoys squared off, shooting K-cups at their asses at each other, you know?
Exactly. Well, Deandra doesn't help it by, again, like, talking, again, in this, like, grandiose, lonesome dove style by saying things like, well, you know, for many years, the Simmons and the Westcotts have been friends. I'm like, okay, you guys are acting like you fully have castles, okay? Like, yeah. What is this?
Yeah, you're a bunch of rich, fucking privileged assholes with oil money who, like, you know, spend 5% on cancer and 95% on ball gowns and salmon. Okay, we all know what you're doing at these parties. I was a cater waiter.
Yeah, and Deandra's like, I mean, I guess what's hard for me is that I was a debutante, and so I was held to a higher standard as opposed to the other girls, so I have to deal with a lot. Mother! And so Andy's like, wow, it sounds like Pine Valley. I mean, it's wild. And you can just see Cam being like, yeah, isn't it great?
I know. She's like, nailed it. Won again.
And hashtag he's like, pine queen.
I have a pine soul. So, and he's like, so, Deandra, you said that you behave differently because you get it more because you were born into it and Cameron was married into it. She's like, no, I never said that. I said I wasn't born into it. My mother married into it when I was 6 years old. How does that make you any better? Yeah. Honestly, you know, your mom slutted into it instead of you. You know, give me a break. You both are married into it. And Deandra, just basically as a general note, has lost this whole reunion. And she is just digging her loss deeper and deeper into the hole of loss in the ground.
Yeah, I think that Deandra, and again, we've said this many times, like, we both really like Deandra a lot. Like, this has not made me lose any love for Deandra. I'm just not on her side on this. But, like, I feel like she fully fell apart. I mean, it's bad when midway through, Carrie has to sort of, like, give you the notes, be like, girl, you have to choose a lane. Like, this is not working for you. Like Deandra's not staying on message. Okay, it was her problem all season long. Like, either you hate society or you want their approval, but you can't go back and forth with this, you know?
Yeah. Well, then we get into the Jimmy section. Jimmy Dean sausage face section. Where Andy's like, so, you know, your mother-in-law, Jiminy Ricket, wanted to try and boss everybody around. And she mentioned that you're hanging out with some loser friend, but you had to dump this friend after Jiminy didn't approve or whatever. Who was it? And she's like, well, it wasn't referring to Brandy, okay? So I just want to get that clear. Brandy, it wasn't you. And Brandy's like... Brandy is over there just rubbing her butt into her glitter dress like a dog with a little gnat coming out of its butt.
The worm.
Mama D sticks in your head, like with a worm, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a dog with a worm in his butt, just like scratching to yell at somebody.
Springer Spaniel or something like that. Yeah. Brandy, it's not you who I'm talking about. I'm talking about your clone. God damn it, I knew it. I knew it all along. I can't tell if you laughed or blew your nose there.
I started laughing and then had to mute to laugh cough. Sorry, it's Ronnie has a cold week like on Watch It Crappin.
You're like, So anyway, it's like, so does Jimmy tell Cameron who to hang out with? And Cameron's just like, she gives advice. It's advice. She's not giving an ultimatum. Like, don't you take advice from other people? Like, when they say, I advise you to stop hanging out with Brandy and Deandra, don't you take that advice sometimes?
And Deandra's like, and Leanne goes, you do the same thing, Deandra. She goes, well, uh-uh. My mother doesn't tell me who to be friends with. She tells me business things that I have to do, like get Janet a new hairnet. Or say hello to the toaster as I come in, because some toasters have feelings. That kind of thing.
Get new post-its for Amelia. Find a stapler for Joanne.
Stop sniffing the white out.
So Cameron's like, well, you're sure her puppet. You're sure her puppet.
And then Deandra comes back with a great you are. She's like, well, you're the Westcott puppet. I'm just going to call you Westcott. Ha 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 ha.
Good one, Deandra. Gonna call her by her last name. Burn. Sick burn.
So Stephanie's like, not to be rude, like, I don't mean to be mean, but, like, I really love you, but, like, if that's all you have to worry about, like, how you behave around your mother-in-law's, like, I mean, guys, people are starving. Okay, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie. They're like bigger things to worry about. Like, how am I going to last for the next 3 weeks while Travis goes back to Harvard night school? That's a big consideration.
People get stopped toilets, okay? While their husband's out of town.
What happens if the floor caves in into our foyer pool? So Cameron's...
I know, that's one of the things I put down. People are starving. People have to fill in living room pools.
You know what's funny is that our dear friend Chelsea, who often comes on to our Google Hangouts, she told us on the last Hangout that she makes a running list of, like, the little stupid things that we just can't help but bring up every single time. And I feel like that foyer pool is just going to plague us for the next, like, year and year and year. Like, just, like, anytime mentions that, like, oh, yeah, foyer pool. So Anyway, so Steph says, yeah, says the bigger things to think about. And then Cameron starts doing this thing about, like, society. And she takes her, like, beauty pageant stand. She's like, I've only said the word society once, but the fact that it comes up over and over again means that there's a lot of insecurity about it. And Carrie's like, I've never been insecure about it, girl.
Andrea goes, I'm not insecure about it either. I'm like, really? Because you've cried for half the season about it.
I know. And then Cameron, like, she all but, like, takes out, like, a sign on a stick and says, I hate the word society. It has to stop. End society forever. End society forever.
And then everybody just stops. Andy, like, stares at a wall and just starts blinking. It was hilarious. He was, like, just completely gone. And then everyone else is staring at her, and Stephanie scrunches her face, just looking around the room like, is anybody going to say anything?
the one thing that unites this entire cast is their puzzlement over Cameron, like, taking a stand on the word society. Even Andy's like, I know I'm stoned, but I'm pretty sure that just happened, right? Like, I'm not that stoned, right?
No, that was hilarious.
It has to stop.
It has to stop. So then Andy's like, well, if you're a part of this rarefied society, darn it, Andy.
The camera literally cuts to Cameron giving a face like, oh my God, you just said the word I said has to stop. Like, she gets this look on her face, like sad Kermit face, like, you know.
So he's like, so society.
Pop it.
And Cameron's like, well, Dallas is a judgy city, and they do talk. And by they, I don't mean the S word. I just mean people who are gathered together based on their monetary worth.
People in certain circles, I'm not saying they're part of society, say, but what I am saying is they're in a circle, and that circle is higher than other circles.
They don't stand for bad behavior. And Andy's like, you're pretty judgy yourself. She goes, yeah, but I'm judgy. But I also have very high standards for myself.
Standards. You know, I maintain the standards that come along with being part of high circles, for lack of a better word. And there is no better word, I'd like to add.
Ooh. So then Stephanie is like, before season one, I thought I had friends. I would have friends when I went to church, or like grocery stores, or like church grocery stores, or grocery stores and churches. And then after this, they wouldn't even look at me. Like, they treat me like complete trash.
Well, because season one, you spent a good amount of that time talking about poop and getting drunk on the lawn. So yes. It can happen.
And then, you know, the only people you could talk to were fellow housewives. And then season two, Brandy treated you like gutter trash. So you see how it works. And you're
even people from Plano. See, that's the thing. Even people from Plano can be just as nasty as people from High Dallas S word.
I just think it is hilarious that coming on this show, these women think that they, like, earn the Nobel Peace Prize by coming and being on a house. It's like the bravest thing they've ever done, and it is hilarious. Because yeah. Andy's like, so they were members of society. Ow, Andy, that hurt my ears.
Have like, to stop using that word. We have to shift the paradigm.
He's like, they look down on you, and she's like, yes, being part of... Being part of bloop means acting a certain way, and I don't want to be a part of that. It's disgusting, Andy. Disgusting. I was like, oh my God, regular old Rosa Parks over there. Like,
I know. Seriously. So then Emma from Provo says, hey, Cameron aligned with Leanne because she's afraid of Leanne. And Brandy just goes, agreed. It's like, shut up, Brandy. Yeah,
shut up, Brandy. I screamed, shut up, Brandy, the entire reunion. Just be quiet over there with your glitter, you know, face issues.
I don't believe for one second that Cameron's afraid of Leanne, just because I don't think Cameron has the like awareness or the self-awareness to be afraid of anyone on this entire set. She'll be afraid of someone for the wrong reasons. Like if someone says, you know what, Cameron, I'm sick of you and I'm going to take away your cheese. She'll be like, that was scary. I'm scared of her. She threatened me. She'll be scared because of that shit. But she won't be scared because of manipulations.
Yeah, she could be in the jungle and like a killer lion could be facing her. And she'd be like, necesito más agua, por favor, busboyo. Like she doesn't have the sense to be scared.
Yeah, she wouldn't. Exactly. She'd be like, you know, you guys call yourselves the pride of lions, but I don't understand what's to be proud of coming and trying to intimidate someone like me.
Sparkle lions.
All these lions need is some pink food.
It's like, out of all the women here, I'm most confident with Leanne. And if I felt different, I would tell her straight up and tell me, do you really want to love me forever? And Brandy's like, you're her puppet.
At which point, I'm super shocked Andrew didn't say, #Westcott, #Westcott, that's her new name, Westcott, get it? Because it's like her last name, but no longer her first name, because she's lost her own identity into her own family name, so she's just going to be called by her family name now. It's like hilarious in so many different levels. Right, mother?
Leanne's like, you call everyone who likes me a puppet. She goes, I do not. It's just that she always agrees with you, and then her story flips. And Cameron's like, whatever makes you feel better, Plano. Whatever makes you feel better.
Meanwhile, Leanne's hand is behind Cameron's head, nodding it up and down. Not doing anything at all. Not doing anything at all. These are my natural head movements.
Brandy. Cameron hates you because you chased her around with a big black dildo. And like 90,000 other reasons, okay? She aligned with Leanne because they both don't like you. Do you understand that you're the great uniter, ma'am? Okay.
And Deandra, do you think Cameron's scared of Leanne? And Deandra goes, I think that she's her doormat. That's what I think. Cameron's like, doormat? Ha! What is that even?
She's like, welcome. Welcome. So
And then Leanne goes like, doormat, like you're your mama's, which I love, man. That they're like just not afraid to go there, and it works every time.
Leanne is preparing for a huge fight with Mama D. She thinks she's going to get into a knockdown dragout, and you can see the fear in her eyes, and you can see her gearing up right now, like calling, you know, knowing that Mama D is waiting back there with a stick of Trident in her mouth. You know, like some Tic Tacs in her purse, ready to flick at her as weapons. Yeah. You know,
big red.
Yeah.
So do we think that Leanne is sitting on some Westcott family secrets, which is why Cameron's being so nice to her?
And Leanne's like, "Oh yeah, my tiny thong is about to bust with secrets."
Yeah. I can't even imagine what Westcott family, I can't imagine what Westcott family secrets there are, but like, because they're so easy to imagine, like, what's the point of even sitting on them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Court secrets. Nobody wants those secrets. You know what I mean? Like the blackmail wouldn't even work. It's like, listen, I'm going to give pictures of your husband fucking and oh God, that's embarrassing. You know what? I'm going to keep these pictures. Never mind. You guys carry on.
I feel like the scandal is supposed to be, oh my God, Court has been boning a hooker. But I think it's actually more like, it's more embarrassing for the hooker. Like, oh my God, Hooker News Daily. This hooker got stuck with Court. Ooh.
Yeah, Leanne's like, yep, I was going to say something, but the hooker paid me, so I just stayed friends with Cameron.
Yeah, Court's like, please, someone tell my secret. No, I promised the hooker I wouldn't shame her on TV.
And was this the question that Andy asked? He said something like, is everybody just terrified of Leanne so they'll let her get away with anything? What has Leanne gotten away with exactly? Nothing ever. Okay. They've got a list of shit that Leanne has come up with from season one that is held against her every day. And I'm not going on a big Leanne stand-up spree here because she has done a lot of stupid things. But come on, they don't let her get away with anything.
She is like a bumbling crook. Yeah, I mean like she literally gets, she is like Wile E. Coyote. Like she is the one, like if things blow up in her, literally blow up in her face, she falls off cliffs, you know, anvils fall on her head. And like she literally gets, she like never catches never catches the Roadrunner. Okay, so yeah. Why is everyone so upset? She still is in like a ranch house with Carly and Rich, you know, like making, you know, Frito salad or whatever it's called, Frito pie, and Frito salad.
There's that too. That's a thing as well. Yes.
I'm just saying, like, they act like she is, like, she has ascended to the top of Dallas, beepity, and, like, she's not. She's the same Leanne. Like, everyone just needs to chill out.
So DeAndre, I think, is the one who's like, everyone is terrified of her! And then Carrie's like, I'm not terrified. I mean, what else is she gonna do to me? You want me to bend over? It's like, no, really. I'll do it naked. Right now. Like, yeah. Seriously. And Stephanie's like, well, like, at first, I was scared of her, but I was like, baby steps, but like now, I'm not scared, but like, come on, Leanne, like the alcoholic thing, like that's dumb. Just don't say that. Just don't say that. Okay. Well, how about telling your friend to stop being a fucking alcoholic on national TV? Okay. And the way that everybody is saying that everyone's kissing Leanne's ass, you're totally kissing Brandy's ass. And I get that you have a legit history there, but you're sticking up for a monster right now.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that Brandy was acting like an alcoholic on TV either, by the way. I mean, I think she just is drunk and having fun. I guess that's what people are scared of with Leanne, which is that, like, if she's unhappy, she'll start a vicious rumor about you. And, like, once the rumor's out there, it's hard to dial it back, especially in Dallas. Beepity, you know? So, like, that's probably where they get they're concerned about, is that, like, get on her wrong side, she's gonna just start so much shit about you. To which I say, welcome to being on Bravo.
Yeah, but they didn't just get on her wrong side. Like, they went after her, trying to make it sound like her husband or her fiance was cheating on her over and over and over and over. And then she finally was like, well, the only reason you guys hang out is because you like drinking together. And then they were the ones who turned it into this big alcoholic storyline.
They really did. Like, and don't forget, season one, you told the world that I shat in a basket, okay?
Well, season one, Leanne, there's no excusing season one, Leanne. And that's I think that people with long memories are still holding on to that, and that's why they can't let it go. Because Leanne was the one who walked into that party, was like, it's getting a little Plano in here about Brandy. And she was trying to mean girl Brandy out. And then she had her friend, that old slag Heidi, come on and say that Carrie's husband, you know, that Carrie was, what was she saying? Like, Carrie was some bimbo and didn't deserve to be in society. You know,
left her way. I don't.
So the original stuff that they're mad at, that totally have a reason to be. But, you know, like, fast forward all these years later, they're still trying to make the same shit stick to a wall that's been cleaned off and repainted.
I think that same shit to a basket that's been cleaned off. I think ultimately what this all comes down to is that I think everyone on the cast has a hard time understanding why the audience, I would say majority of the audience, I don't want to speak for everyone because I know there are some very vocal dissenters, and I don't discredit what they feel because I feel, you know, I totally get it. But a large portion of the audience feels like Leanne is the star. She's what makes this show. She's like the fan favorite. And season one, she was just like the biggest villain, and she was like really one of the worst people on Bravo ever. And Brandy was the hero. And somewhere between season one and season two, everyone got some perspective and started to really appreciate how hilarious and like cuckoo Leanne is, that they all decided to embrace Leanne. And I just don't think everyone was on the cast was able to really like come to grips with that. That's hard when you feel like you're the same person and the audience loved you. And now suddenly the audience doesn't love you. That's hard to come to terms with. And I mean, this whole fight that they had in Colorado about who's the queen of the show, it all is rooted in the same stuff anyway. So like, I think it basically, a lot of this just comes down to ego. God bless it.
Yeah, God bless it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a...
Adeo, when you buy a new OLED TV, those festive films will look even more magical. With brands like LG, Philips and Toshiba, you can enjoy the classics in vibrant colour and super sharp definition. And there's £10 off everything over £299 with the code PODCAST10. Plus, with delivery in time for Christmas, you can be sure of a better tomorrow. AO.com, the online electrical store.
AO, let's go!
See online for details, terms and conditions apply.
How do you fancy the chance to shape the podcast industry? To tell us which shows, which sponsors, and which content you want to hear more of? To change the face of podcasting forever? I mean, it's not going to change your life or anything, but the Acast podcast panel is a pretty cool thing to be part of. Oh, and we'll pay you for your time. Can't say fairer than that, eh? Head to podcastpanel.co.uk and register your interest.
A Crappens commercial.
It's the time of year when everyone is thinking about thoughtful gifts.
Yes, Mother. Think about giving yourself the gift of an Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer, Mother.
Access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more.
Girl, you can choose 3 titles every month. 1 audiobook. And 2 Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else, girl.
Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere, at home, at the gym, on your commute, or just on the go.
You'll enjoy easy audiobook exchanges, rollover credits, and an audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel or clone it.
Now, as many of you guys know, I've been reading The Underground Railroad, and it's been taking me forever, and I just looked, and I saw that it's actually in the Audible library, so I am going to transition over to Audible and finish it that way, because you know what? Why should I have to do all the hard work? I'm excited.
Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Give yourself the gift of listening. And while you're at it, think about giving the gift of Audible to someone on your list. For more, go to audible.com/crappens. Get your 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. Go to audible.com/crappens. That's audible.com/crappens. So he turns it to Cameron, and he's like, so Cameron, did Jimmy ask you not to be friends with, I wrote Dan. Who's Dan? Brand?
Dandra.
Dandra. Probably. Oh, Dandra, duh. Ronnie. Jeez, Ronnie. If it's not in all caps, I don't get that it's an abbreviation. Okay, so did Jimmy ask you not to be friends with Dandra? And she's like, 100% no. At that time, bleep, bleep, a T had not said anything about Dandra. And he's like, well, it sounds like you mean past tense. And Dandra's like, yeah, well, that's what I've heard, too. That was bad. Now, I don't want everything's different. She's like, I have to be honest. Jiminy is in a different social group, and they don't really cross paths unless I'm there to bring sad, sad Dandra from staring outside the store window with her hands over her forehead so she doesn't get her brow marks on the glass. Bring her inside and give her a warm cup of hot choco.
It's chocolate. Yeah, now Deandra's all annoyed that Jimmy loved her in the past tense. Like, well, what do you expect? I mean, you think this woman's going to still love you after you, like, threw, like, a hissy fit about how Jimmy attacked you when she was just, like, talking at the table, you know?
Yeah, and he's like, is Jimmy tarnishing Deandra's family name? And she's like, you know what? Deandra can answer that. I don't need a babysitter. And Dandra's like, why don't you ask your mother-in-law? She is your babysitter. Westcott!
Who's here today? Your mama. Or should I say, your babysitter.
Captain Lee's backstage like, God damn it!
I picked the wrong day to make a cameo appearance on a reunion of a show that I'm not even on. God damn it!
And Dandra's like, well, I'm not the one who invited Mother. Andy is. And Andy's like, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, I was stoned and I thought it'd be hilarious. I thought I was inviting Deez Nuts, to be honest, and said Deez Simmons came instead, but, you know, we'll roll with it. So Leanne's like, so what's going on? Are this, I guess there's some question to Leanne about the Simmons family, and is like, this has Deandra ruined it, or what's going on with the Simmons family? And Leanne's like, well, there are 2 sides of the Simmons family. One is respected and beloved in Dallas circles, Cameron.
Thank you.
And the other side, well, they're just trash. They call that the Dandra side. They call that the K-cup squeezing side. You know what I'm saying, Andy?
They may be poor, but they can make a good cup of ass coffee.
Yeah.
Well, the truth of this, from what I've read, because I did a little reading, guess what? It wasn't research, because it was on Facebook crapping's live and loving it. So thank you to everybody who posts your exhaustive research. Deandra is from a billionaire family. Well, the Simmons family. But they married into it, like she said a million times. And she's been at war with the other side of the family, who are like legit gazillionaires.
Right.
And they're on the losing end of that war. So they have, you know, obviously still a lot of money. But there are like super wealthy parts of her family. And that's why she's kind of lying whenever she's like, it's just me and Mama. Because she's got a lot of steps and stuff. But... apparently they're all at war, which hopefully we'll learn next season more about, because that's some juicy shit. I love when it gets to be like, what do you mean my stepsister's on this show?
Yeah, you know that's what's going to happen next. That'll be so good.
God, I hope so.
Are they related to the Simmons Beauty Rest? I'm legitimately asking, because you know these Simmons, you know these names, suddenly you find out.
I don't know. I don't.
It's very important to me to know who's connected to which mattress. So, so anyway,
you know, I have a problem with my cousin Serta.
Now, my stepsister Celie, she is a real troublemaker. Now, I don't want to ever admit this, but I did once have an illicit moment with my half. Well, he's not really related to me. He's like my step cousin. His name is Casper.
Yeah, he died, but he's still a ghost.
No, I'm saying Lisa. So so Deandra now pops off on Leanne. After Leanne says that Deandra's from like the black sheep part of the Simmons family, Deandra's like, you have no right to talk about Dallas society because you're not a part of Dallas society. So if I was you, I would clap it.
You know,
at this point, Cameron's now like on the floor, passed out from the use of the word society so many times.
And Deandra, you're so full of shit with this. Like, one second you're saying you want to break away from society and you're sick of what they think, and then you're like mean girling somebody for being poor.
Yeah.
You know, you're such a dick. And Carrie's like, why do you even say that if you don't care about society? She's like, because she's sitting there saying the Simmons have no right to talk about it. You're not a Dallas society person, honey.
And then Cameron, this bitch, I love her. She goes, you keep saying that I was married into it? Like, what? Like, am I from the ghetto or something? I grew up in Montecito, okay? Oprah lives there.
Montecito. The ghetto. And Andy starts cracking up. He's like, that is the funniest giraffe I've ever seen in my life. And Dandra's like, I don't know anything about you. I met your mother one time. I don't know anything about your family lineage. Okay, Cameron? She's like, well, I'm sorry, but I grew up in a very wealthy family, okay? I never even saw a city bus until I came to Dulles, okay?
I didn't even know what a trolley was. I thought it was a type of candy.
I really don't even know what a ghetto is. I've just heard it on an Elvis Presley song.
I thought that means you go there to get to somewhere else. That's the ghetto. Isn't that what the ghetto is?
Oh my God, my fucking trailer park laugh into the microphone. Okay, so.
It's okay.
So Carrie's like, do you guys know how ridiculous you sound? Like, you sound like the most superficial bitches I've ever seen. And Andy goes, and it's amazing. I love it. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Sometimes Andy really gets us. I will say that. So then Andy has, he smells blood in the water. So he's just going to keep stoking this fire and he's to mix metaphors. And he goes, so which family is the most important, the Simmonses or the Westcotts? I'm like, I can't believe you're actually asking this right now. Please continue.
And Brandy's like, huh, the Redmans.
So then, friend probation. So
he tells Leanne, if Leanne had to call, he keeps trying to get Leanne to get in trouble and she's resisting, which I'm both mad and proud of her. But she goes, you're just trying to make me a big old dartboard, Andy. I'm going to pass. That's how we do it in the South. We say, pass. Well, like also on the pyramid, but okay. Okay, so go ahead.
That's a different pyramid. Okay, all right. Now, here's the clue. Okay, now this is an important family. They have a lot of money. People in society care about them.
The
they
Westcott's.
Are not. Oh, yes, that is correct. Okay, this family. All right. Have you ever seen a puddle and you're like, how deep is that puddle? And you think it's just an inch and you step your foot in it and it's actually like 2 feet deep. They are the family equivalent of that.
The Simmons.
Yes, absolutely correct.
That's yes. It. Just one
$15 pyramid. Thank you very much.
I'd like you to pass that money over to me, Andy.
Also.
So,
oh, sorry.
Yes.
Nothing. Sorry. What? Sorry.
Oh, so is Deandra still on friend probation? And so Cameron's like, I don't think so. I mean, Deandra's the one who came up with it. She said she was on friend probation, and I just said it again. I mean, I went over to her house, and we had tacos, salads, and I thought everything was great. I mean, would you ever serve the beautiful food of Cabo San Lucas and be mad at someone at the same time? I don't think so.
Who said they're like the Montagues and Capulets? Was it Cameron?
I'm not sure.
Because I started cracking up. Like, over the summer, I went to her house for a taco salad.
You know, one moment she's acting like I'm from the ghetto, and the next moment she's giving me taco salad. Like, which one is it?
Yeah, it's like the Montagues and Capulets. So, Gary's...
Why do people always compare Phil Donahue and the Capsules?
This is so Deandra to go to your house. This is so Deandra to have you over for taco salad and then try and drag you, like, the next week. Come on. If taco salad can't bring peace, how is this world ever going to recover?
I really thought something was special happening between us. I mean, who would have thought they could mix tacos and salad, two of my favorite things, into one bowl? And then you can just eat the bowl. Have you ever eaten a bowl before? Because I eat a bowl.
Yeah. So now Carrie is fake getting close with your dad by going on a trip without him storyline.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, my parents are very conservative people. And the naked hot tub incident didn't help. And then she does that thing where she tries to cry, but her eye, it's like she's just unable. Like, that's what a person who has her own Botox sticks at home. I mean, she just looks crazy. Don't ever try to cry, okay?
Yeah, don't cry. Don't cry for me, Carrie Duba.
It looks like
the truth is you have no more tear ducts.
She looks like two different wind machines are hitting her eyes and blowing them separate ways. It looks crazy. We're supposed to be sad that Carrie's parents are a couple of conservative pricks. And someone posted it on Facebook yesterday. One of the comments was, why don't they have her messy-ass parents story in here? Because that would be much better than this fake one. And I agree. You know, make them live together with the parents. And let's see the dad tell her off for, like, always taking off her clothes in public or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a better story.
Much better. Much, much better story. Yeah.
So then we get to Copenhagen.
Yeah. So we start by asking about Brandy's plan to get really wasted and have Leanne call her an alcoholic. And Brandy's like, yeah, I thought I was going to prove a point. I'm like, well, you did prove a point, just not the one that you wanted to make.
And then she tries to word it this way with Leanne. She goes, I was just going to prove a point, and I was just expecting you to be honest with me. Like, she's upset that Leanne didn't call her an alcoholic on TV. I mean, she's such a nut.
I know.
So then Andy's like, okay, let's be honest. You were just trying to provoke her. And Leanne goes, it was passive aggressive. Oh, yeah, the very definition. She goes, you know what? Let me tell you, throwing up fish is not fun.
As opposed to, like, throwing up meat, that's fun.
Yeah. So she never answered that question. So then Andy asked a question everybody asked, which is, you had a full TV crew with multiple cameras, and now you're worried? And she's like, yeah, but in my opinion, she's vindictive and malicious, and she did it for bad reasons. And Carrie's family said no recording, so why do it? And Leanne's like, well, first of all, there was no malicious intent, and Carrie deleted it. I even learned something new about iPhones, which is that they have a trash section. Apparently, it's like Plano. You don't know there until someone points out that it's actually there.
Apparently, Texas has a trash section also. It's called Plano. She's like, I wanted to preserve the memory of my one and only time of being at the Baltic. But that's okay. That's okay, Brandy. You can delete that from me.
Oh, and then Andy's like, okay, but then on the same point, Leanne, I mean, there were cameras everywhere, so why did you need the memory on your phone? I don't even get that.
She's like, well, then it would be an edited memory. I wanted something unfiltered and just straight, unedited, unblurred out footage that I could just send to everyone, every news outlet to say, look at my memory. Oh, and Brandy's boobs happened to be in there too.
When everyone's dying to see Brandy's boobs. Lining up around the block at the Grove, Andy. So she's like, well, but I should have seen. We were in a volatile place and I shouldn't have done it. And he goes, so do you still think that Brandy stole the phone? And Brandy goes, I didn't steal the phone, and you know I didn't. She goes, and Andy goes, do you know that? And she's like, nope. So then we get Brandy's story of the phone.
Yeah. She says,
well, I was in the hotel bar, and the phone, it was found in the bar.
So the fact that she said it was found, here's what I'm saying. Someone on production found it and gave it to Brandy and said, hey, why don't you bring this to Leanne, knowing it was going to set off this whole drama. And so she had to walk through her room before going into Leanne's room. And so while she was walking through her room, Steph looked at the phone also. And then she's like, and now I'm going to call Cameron out on a lie. I call Cameron Westcott to the witness stand. Did you or did you not call Leanne? You didn't. There were no missed calls from you. I'm like, are you seriously going to argue this point? Do you know how many times I get missed calls and it never even shows up on my phone? For real?
Yeah, she's completely full of shit. This story, I looked at it, saw it was yours, and when I went upstairs, I had to go through my room and up the stairs. And like, she's planning, like, she's making this whole, and then I walked here, and then I walked there, and then I went here. You're such a fucking liar. So then Leanne's like, but that's stupid. She did call. I was watching her call my phone. Like, I was
with her when she was calling. If you had called, I would have answered it. Like, but I'm like, why is this the point that Brandy wants to, like, make into a fight? That Cameron said that she called Leanne's phone, and she's like, and Cameron never called it. Like, what are you trying to – this is like some – this is caught, some low-level manipulation.
Yeah, because when she's caught, she always tries to throw it at somebody else. It's the dumbest fight ever, and she's totally caught, okay? And so then she gets caught again because he goes, but yeah, but if you found the phone, it would be totally natural for you to try and get in and erase that video. She goes, but I couldn't because she has face recognition. And Kerry goes, yeah, but she still has a code. And Brandy goes, what is it, 666? I don't know. Which it probably is, because then later she goes, oh God, this fight gets so crazy. Look at me, I'm stuttering over myself reading the notes. So Leanne's like, I said my phone, okay, here's how this clone thing happened. I said that my phone has an app, and if you try and get in my phone three times, it clones the nearest phone. And then she starts laughing, and Dandra's like, well, I've never heard of that.
And Andy's
stupid.
Yeah, Andy is like cracking up because it's like, it is the most blatant, like obviously fake thing you could even imagine. Like, that's the thing that a drunk person says to someone, let's say it's like a police officer, don't give me my phone because it's got an app to clone. You say, yeah, no, officer, don't. Like, the fact that like Brandy and even Deandra believed this cockamamie story is so funny. Like, even if the app were true, why would that make sense? You're trying to break into a phone, and after three times, the phone clones another phone. What? What is the functionality of that? Like a spiteful app that's like, now you see me, now you don't. I'm someone else now. Like, it's so hilariously dumb. And the fact that Brandy went on for several episodes in like anger and fear about her phone actually being cloned and calling your mother and saying, well, I guess I have to get a new phone because Leanne cloned mine. It's like, I can't believe this.
Oh my God, this lady is fucking nuts. Brandy is really showing her colors, because then Brandy's like, if I stole your phone, which, oh my God.
I'm now stole.
Good Lord, Plano. Get on your education system. Sorry, coughed. But she's like, if I stole your phone, why would I deliver it to the door?
Yeah, she goes, second of all, why did you never say anything to my fucking face, you chicken shit? Like, I mean, Brandy has a point. Like, if she stole the phone, she probably would just, like, take it with her back to the U.S. and find some hacker, I guess, to break into it. Or she would have just, like, thrown it into the ocean, and then that would have been that. But then now she's mad that Leanne never approached Brandy to say, hey, I think you stole my phone.
Yeah, because she's not saying everything to her face because she doesn't want to have on-camera fights with you, you turd, okay? And that's obviously all you're trying to do with her. So she's like, you're bullshit. You left the next morning after you beat on our door mercilessly the night before. She goes, yeah, because I wanted you to say it to my face. She's like, well, I took an Ambien. And Cameron's like, it was 3 a.m. Okay, so Brandy comes into their door and starts slamming on their door at 3 a.m. and won't stop. That's fucking crazy, lady.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I mean, that's just crazy person behavior. And then Cameron. Go ahead.
Sorry. And I was going to say, and then I like that Cameron, though, just has to make this all about her. So she's like, and Brandy, for you to say that I didn't call, that's a freaking lie. So now you've lost my trust. You've lost my trust. And Brandy's like, you lie all the time. And Cameron's like, oh, this is awesome. Let's go. Let's go. Facts, facts, facts. Stand up.
Stand up
and tell the room the facts, the facts, the facts. Stand up. What
stand
did
up
I
right
lie
now,
about?
Tell me when I lie. Stand up
what
right
I
now.
Lie
tell
about?
Me when
stand
I
up.
Lie.
Stand up. Deliver. Stand and deliver.
And Andy's like, no one stand up, okay? Everybody please stay seated.
Can we call AT&T then? No, we're not calling AT&T or standing up.
She's like, you know how you can tell a man was in the refrigerator? Because there's not lipstick on the milk carton when it's open. Okay. It's like, no more stand up, please. So Leanne and Deandra were best friends for over 10 years. Which, by the way, Deandra's trying to totally walk back. She was on another podcast this week. I forget which one. I think it was Juicy Scoop. And saying that she was barely even friends with Leanne, and this is all manipulated for the show. So, interesting. Deanna's full
barely friends, just had her in her wedding, you know?
Yeah. That's it. Well, she said that somebody else dropped out, and so someone suggested Leanne at the last second. Oh. Which is just...
still...
obviously, like, a lie, and so rude, also.
And also, who, like... I kind of feel like if someone drops out of your wedding, then... like, you don't have to have – this is not a Broadway show. You don't need to have a swing. you can just go on with, like, one fewer bridesmaids.
No. So she's Leanne and Dan's blah, 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 best friends. But it changed the season over finances, infidelity, and alcoholism. And Brandy is nodding her stupid ponytail, like, laughing to herself. Which, I don't know. Brandy always thinks she's fucking winning something. Like, you just looked like a total idiot on national TV. And she's like, nailed it.
So, Deandra's explaining that why she was pestering Leanne. And she was like, well, after the engagement, mother, you know, I was all excited. There was going to be, like, all sorts of stuff. There would be bridal showers and fittings and wedding planning. And then nothing happened. And so I started to get worried. I was very, very worried. And I was worried that Rich was just trying to appease her, which would have made me very, very sad. And I'm like, I sort of get that logic, but I feel like the way you, like, handle that is to not, like, just, like, call her out. You know, like, whether it's Leanne or anyone, just, you don't, like, just, like, call someone out at your four-year anniversary party, you know, and be like, what's going on with you? You're not really getting married. And then, like, yell at her at a restaurant in the middle of Colorado saying, like, you know, like, you don't really want to get married. Why don't you want to get married? Why don't you be honest with me? Why don't you get honest with me? Like, it was so over the top and so crazy. And this is an example of where I wanted the reunion to dig into that a little bit more. Because I think what we were all feeling as we were watching it is, why do you care so much? Like, why are you getting so up into Leanne's business about this? Like,
can't
didn't you just,
she
like,
actually have a preacher at that dinner where she was at her anniversary dinner that was going to marry them? Like, she was totally ready. Like, if you just think about that sickness, she really was going to have Leanne get married at her anniversary party so they could compete forever over anniversary parties. You know?
Yeah, I just felt like I wanted her to get grilled a little bit about, like, don't you think that, like, isn't she entitled to go at her own pace? Like, why is this so much your business? And, like, you know, like... because we all felt like it was a very obvious, like, projection of like the pressure that Dee puts onto Deandra was her just, like, sort of paying it forward onto Leanne, you know?
Yeah. But, well, she's then it moves to Leanne for that $200, telling Carrie that Deandra was crying because she only had $200 left in her account. So Leanne's like, well, here's what happened.
They came home from shopping, and I knew that someone had tried to get into my phone because suddenly my phone was dialing me, and Donald Duck was on the other end. I was like, Mickey Mouse, stole my phone! He's like, stay on topic, please. So she's like, well, they came back from shopping. And Deandra was really upset with her because her mom's going to be mad because she bought all this money. And I said to her, just return that stuff. There's no reason you should have to feel like you have to spend that money just because you're with Brandy. Yeah. And which I mean, makes sense.
Basically, she said they were out. They you know, she's already having like money issues because she's having issues with her mom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she's going to have to, she's going to potentially lose all this money separating out. And then she just went on a drunken like purchasing spree where she doesn't have that money to spend. And she was drunk and she was like, oh, well, we got to return this stuff because you basically have only $200 left in your account or whatever. And Leanne claims that that's what she said to Carrie. And that's what Deandra's gotten all pissed about.
Yes.
Because Deandra even says, she goes, I mean, I did spend money that I shouldn't have spent, and that's all I'll say about it. I'm like, so you basically like spent like all your money on a drunken shopping spree.
Yeah, she basically confirmed what Leanne said because she said, me and my mom were not on good terms, and I spent more than I should have, which is exactly what was said. So Carrie's
by the way, welcome to the rest of us.
Yeah, and so Andy's like, but why did Carrie have to repeat it? Because that's what started it. And she goes, well, look, Leanne was saying it out of concern, and I repeated it out of concern. Because, like, and also, like, I would want to know, like, if people were saying that about me. And Andy goes, why? And she goes, because, Andy, it's not the first time or the first person that have talked about her finances, okay? She talks about it. I'm just saying, like, pick a struggle, okay?
Yeah.
I love you either way, but are you?
Yeah, she goes, one minute you care about society, and the next you don't. Just pick one. I love you no matter what, girl. I do, girl. Just pick one, girl.
She's like, but then what? Then why would you go to your art? But Leanne would go to her arch enemy and tell them my business. That makes no sense.
First of all, I like all arches. You ever been to St. Louis? It's a beautiful arch. Beautiful. Okay. I have no arch nemesis.
What did Ronald McDonald ever do to you?
And then, so then Cameron goes, there's no reason for us to have this conversation because in Copenhagen, you told me in the cab ride all the way back to the hotel that Leanne gave you the golden ticket. America's going to eat this up because they can relate to only having $200 in their bank account.
Yeah, it was the best thing to ever happen to you. It's like, was that on the show? I don't think so, Cameron. Was that on the show? Which she's saying, if it wasn't on tape, it doesn't count. And I mean, you're so full of shit, then neither does what Leanne said, because that wasn't on tape either.
And then Deandra, the way you can tell Deandra's fully caught is that she starts being like, that's hilarious. Listen to Westcott over there. And I'm not even using her first name. Westcott, that was good. Mother, did you hear that backstage?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, you were so caught. Cameron totally just put your shit out there.
God, Deandra really is a nutcase. Like, if I'm believing all this stuff now, because I think Cameron is like a repeater exactly how it happened.
I think she is. I mean, sometimes she gets crazy, certain
saying sometimes like, "Oh, I've spent all this money and now I only have $200." She thinks she's hurting me, but now America's going to love me because they know what it's like to be poor. I'm like, well, that is nuts.
Well, you know what's funny? You know what? I will say this: I can imagine being like, it is nuts. But there is a way that Deandra could have spun that and been like, "Yeah, I did say that. I said, you know what? Like, she may be trying to like make me look like, you know, shitty, but actually I think that people will really relate to what I'm going through." It just goes to show that whether you are in Plano or you're in high society, you can still have financial like struggles, which is really what she should have said right then and there. But instead she just is like, no problems here, mother. No problems.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. So then Deandra is like, oh, a golden ticket, just like your golden hair. I was like, oh my God, she's spiraling out of control at this point.
So now we go into the Phil Collins section. We're discussing Separate Lives. Get it? So Deandra is like, you know, like, oh, so Deandra, you kept on saying that like Rich and Leanne were leading separate lives. And she's, I never said he was unfaithful. I never said he was unfaithful, which is hilarious to me because later on in the reunion, which we'll get to, there's all this talk about how Leanne implied she was an alcoholic and implications matter. You were implying implications are fact in Dallas, you know? So like you saying that they live separate lives, you know what that is? That's an implication.
And also, she literally did say it. And Andy's like, yeah, you did say he was cheating. And she goes, oh, well, I said it in my confessional, but I didn't say it to her face. Like that's better. Oh. And Stephanie goes, I love you, Tandra. But if you're going to say it, you should have said it to her face. Because, like, that's a hard way to hear a rumor. Like, if I did that to you or you did that to me, it would break my heart. Like, I wouldn't even be able to, like, get out of bed. Like, people are starving.
And Leanne's like, Rich and I don't have problems, okay? He only has one eye. He can barely masturbate, all right? You should see him trying to move his hand over his dick. He misses every single time. I'm like, okay, Rich, let me do it for you. Stop looking at me, Carly.
Before I got here, he was in the hotel room trying to make the remote control come. So she's like, he's never cheating. She's like, well, I know that that's not true because both ex-wives sought me out and came to me and told me different story. Okay, so his ex-wives. Okay, so are you saying he's cheating on Leanne or that he's cheated in the past? Because now you're playing with semantics. And yeah. No, both exes did not just fucking come to you out of the blue. And well, are you suggesting that he's fucking the exes? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you never know. A lover scorned, they might do that. I mean, but I just think it's funny that she's like, I never said he was unfaithful. I never said he was unfaithful. By the way, his ex-wives came up to me and said that he was unfaithful. It's like, what? Like, you can't, like, just like Deandra, you just have to, like, what you've got to do is you got to sit down and think about what you're going to say, okay? Because it's all over the place.
And this is her intervention, because Carrie is like, you're hitting below the belt, girl. And Leanne's like, don't you see you're below the belt? I'm just trying to help. We're all losing trust in you, Deandra.
Losing your trust. I don't even know if I can keep a K-cup near you and walk into the other room.
So next is the alcoholic discussion.
Yeah, here we go. So if Leanne never called you an alcoholic, Deandra, why do you keep insisting that she said that? And that's when she's like, well, Leanne implicates. She implicates. Much like I would never implicate that she was unfaithful with Rich. I would merely just say it behind her back.
And she's like, but who was the first person to say alcoholic? It was you. You said, are you calling me an alcoholic? And I said, no. And Brandy's like,
but you said in your blog that she had a problem with alcohol.
Did you imply it, Leanne? I said when they were together, all they do is drink. Now, is that what drunk people do? Yes. And that what alcoholics do? Yes.
Deandra's like, how does that not mean I don't have a, how's that mean I don't have a drinking problem? See, here's the thing though. Here's what's driving me nuts about this is that you can say that two people, all they do is drink. They don't seem to actually connect in any other way except that they go out and they party, and that's all they do is they party. It does not mean alcoholism. It does not mean that either one of them is an alcoholic, but they are the ones who are really elevating it to the alcoholic place. It does not help that Leanne, three quarters of the way through the season, had that like weird monologue where she like spoke theoretically to Carrie and said alcoholic. But like, it's all just getting confused, and no one can really like, no one seems to be like parsing out the syntax here.
Yeah, they're doing it to themselves. Like, Brandy was so worried about being an alcoholic that she said she made it her main storyline for the season, admitted that she drank a bottle of wine a night to go to sleep when she was stressed out, and then got shit-faced on national camera national TV so that someone would call her an alcoholic. I mean, these dope birds. It's so funny.
I know.
Then Andy was like, well, Deandra, you said that you've had issues before, but it's not with alcohol. What is it with, and do you have any on you? And she's like, well, I did cocaine in my 20s, but then I went to Tijuana. Oh my, who does that? It's like, I came back with no drug problems, but I did have a new rack, Andy. So
oh my god, that was the I went to Tijuana back then when it was safe. What are you what is happening here? She's like, well, I did have a drug problem, but then I went to Bogota. And things were fixed. I spent a month in the jungle working for a man called Hefe. And I don't want to say what he does there or how many guns he has in his compound, but I'm okay now. I'm okay.
I had an addiction to cream cheese, Andy, so I moved to Philadelphia for 3 weeks, and I swam in cow's cream, okay,
until I was done with it. It's like, what are you talking about?
Just like Tijuana, I just don't see. Okay, I've never been to Tijuana. I don't want to be ignorant. I just don't really see it as being a rehab friendly place.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're doing the rehab I like, which is where you don't do drugs until after 5. I mean, that's where to go.
I don't know.
Oh, God. No. So Leanne's like, but don't you see that knowing that, it made me more concerned. And so Andy's like, well, wouldn't it be okay to flag that kind of behavior and worry about it? And she goes, well, I still hold to the truth that it was nefarious in every way.
So Andy puts on his like, Dr. Phil mustache. He's like, I just want to point out that you guys have both made quote unquote nefarious accusations out of quote unquote concern. And they're like, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like, maybe like you can understand, since you don't like her accusation, but you understand the concern that you used in your accusation, maybe you can understand her concern. And they're like, what should I say?
He's like, well, I've invited someone here who you both listen to, in a sense. Which is such a funny way to put it. And yeah. Then Dee just starts talking from backstage. Like, hey!
She's like,
I need a little action out here. I brought my purse because I need to give my daughter her allowance. And Leanne ain't going to give me instructions. I said, next year, Andy, where am I going?
Hi, darling. All right, there's a pillow here. This is a nice-looking pillow. Not like the ones I have in my office. My office was shit. That's because the android designed. Hi, daughter. Anyway, what's going on? How's it doing? How's it hanging?
Fixing this mess is gonna call for a miracle. A green one! Thank you, Pat Robertson.
Looks all like right. You guys have all been having a hard night, but not a good morning. That's all I gotta say right now. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, oh, sorry, I just squirted some ketchup on you, Andy.
Let the Lord be your light. Hard not good morning tunnel.
So Dee is clearly like her 700 club persona has turned on and she's like ready to go. But she's also quietly evil. She's like, I think y'all have had a lot of action going on. Right, Leanne? Leanne just stares at her. She goes, are you okay, Leanne? Leanne's like, I always will be. Good. I'm glad. I'm a survivor like you. Yes, I guess you are a survivor, although you never had to survive the terror that is being a mother to this monster over here. That's just talking about you, DeAndre. I'm just joking.
My theory is that Dee was coming out here to fight with Leanne, but then she watched the season and heard the reunion and sees that DeAndre is just getting her ass handed to her. And so she rolled back because she was actually nicer to Leanne than I think even Leanne thought. Because when Leanne starts, I'm a survivor. Just like you. I was like, uh-oh, it's victim Leanne. She's going to come out and fight with that victim shield.
Yeah. So Dee is like, I love retirement. It is so fun. I get to sit at home and think about all the ways that DeAndra is ruining my legacy. Ha! Hilarious!
So Andy's like, so did Leanne really name you Mama Dee? Because no one will give her credit. And she's like, she did, Andy. And the first time you said that, Leanne, was in DeAndra's kitchen. And you said, Mama Dee, please ask DeAndra to do this show. Tell her that she should be on this show. So here's Dee giving Leanne credit for not only naming her, but also not only offering DeAndra the show, but begging her to do it.
Yeah.
So Mama Dee is playing shade on her own daughter, which I love.
Yeah. And then she's like, and by the way, you know, I always keep at least 8 pounds of butter in the kitchen. Like, if we ever drop below eight pounds of butter, I tell the servants, you better go get that butter, okay? DeAndra needs to be fed. Oh, you're right here, daughter. I keep forgetting that you're here.
What is DeAndra supposed to mix with her protein shakes? Get to the grocery store.
You know what they say, that bulletproof coffee? It's where they put the butter in the coffee. I know. You know why it's called bulletproof? Because I make DeAndra drink it and I shoot guns at her.
Well, I'll tell you, I call it bulletproof because if someone tries to shoot me, I grab DeAndra and I put her in front of me. Okay? Haven't been hit once.
So Andy starts grilling Mama Dee about, he's like, you know, Leanne never said alcoholic to you. And she's like, no, but Leanne said DeAndra might have become an alcoholic. And Leanne's like, I never said that. And then Dee's like, okay, well, that's the way I heard it. You know, when you're almost 78 years old, you hear things different. And I was like, see, now that's the way everyone should be responding on these shows. Oh, that's the way I heard it. Never mind. you know?
Yeah. And also bullshit, because that caused a lot of problems, you know? You took the wrong side, and then you went on national TV again and tried to start shit with the whole cast against her. And they showed the clip, even, and she didn't even come close to saying that. And she doesn't say sorry. And Leanne goes,
But that's what was so sorry. That's what was so great about it, is that she's like, oh, well, I heard it that way. Never mind. And it's just like, oh, like she just sort of like gets off the hook. It's like when Kelly Dodd says, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. Or Kelly Dodd just immediately goes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's like, no, I'm sorry.
She attacks and goes, I'm sorry.
No, no, I don't want that. No, no, you're great. So what's the real issue here, Mama D? And she goes, well, when two idiots love each other and they care so much about each other and they even have the same crazy witch hair, you know, when one of them moves on, sometimes they lose a diamond when they're collecting stones. And by stones, I mean L22. Where is that? There is that ingredient, Deandra.
So Leanne's like, well, I know that most of Deandra's life, she wants to win. And if there's a situation that she's not winning, she finds a way to win.
What are you talking about? What? Huh? What do you mean?
She goes, I don't even know, Deandra. I wish I knew. And Andy's like, so you mean the show? You mean that she's trying to win the show? And then D goes, yep, I think Leanne's right about that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then Deandra immediately goes, okay, well, yeah, that's true. That's right. That's true. I'm like, okay, so you just admitted to your motive for doing every shitty thing that you've done this season. You just officially confessed at the end of this reunion, you dope.
Yeah. So Andy's like, so what would you have to do to fix all this, to fix this problem? So they start to sort of like do faux apologies, and, you know, Leanne apologizes for making the $200 comment, and Deandra apologizes for the rich comments. Although they both preface it with like, well, I've apologized for this about this before, but I'll do it again. Which, by the way, Kevin Hart, take note. This is how you do it. Sometimes we just want like just one more apology. That's all we need. You can say you did it before, but just give us a new one. That's all.
Ooh. And Dee's like, all you girls need to realize, you can't.
Cameron, look at me, Cameron. Cameron. She's like,
Because Cameron, I think, was expecting to yell that too.
This boy Cameron's like nodding, like she's like a cat on the dashboard. She's like,
She's like, you cannot change the beginning, but you can all change today to change the ending, which ends with Deandra getting the business repossessed. Okay, we all know it's going there, so let's just fast forward and eat some popcorn together, shall we?
And you know what they're going to have to do? And they're not going to like it. But I don't give a gnat's ass wrapped around a rain barrel on a train track on the western side of a raincoat underneath the sunshine when the clouds are out and the camels are on the desert. You know, you ever heard that one before, Andy?
He's like, please leave now. He's like, I thought this would be more fun, but you're scaring me now. Okay.
So then my favorite part is that Dee goes, you know what? I love you, Leanne. I've loved you all these years. And Deandra, I definitely love you too.
And Deandra's like, thanks. Well, I want you to be best friends again, and I'm willing to work with you. And Andy's like, so, Leanne, you willing to work with Mama D? She goes, I would love a coach that's not attached to either side. Actually, I'd love Coach from Cheers. Unfortunately, he's passed, but if we could dong him back into existence, I'd be willing to do that.
See, the problem is we tried to work with Mama D before, but she put ketchup in my meditation bowl and stuck fries in it.
He's like, okay, Mama D, you can leave now. She's like, Andy, honey, I don't know how you do this. You're going to need lots of therapy. I got you a plane ticket to Tijuana. It's just waiting for you. Right? You just let me know when you're packed.
She's like, yeah. He's excited. Already on Grindr. So, now it's time. Now it's like coming to the close of the reunion. So Andy's like, so let's leave on a positive note. If you could have one do-over for the season, what would it be? At which point, no one gives any do-overs. They just start making proclamations. So Steph is like, I wait too long to say how I feel. Like when I broke my ankle falling into my foyer pool and I was like, ow, but I didn't say anything for 3 months. Now I walk in circles.
And Carrie's like, I'm overly honest. Cameron's like, I'm going to hold back questions. And everyone starts cheering.
Yeah, I was so mad. I was like, no, please ask questions and don't let things go.
And Andy said, you're going to let things go? And she's like, I won't let it go inside, but I'll let it go on the outside, Andy. And they're like, way, repression, yay.
Yeah, which also means you're not letting things go.
Yeah, and Brandy apologizes for something that happened 5 minutes ago because that's just like the kind of mosquito brain she's got. So she's like, I apologize for saying Cameron's a liar. If I had really taken the time to scroll through that phone more, excuse you, you do know that you just confessed to scrolling through that phone. And then she's like, oh, and tried harder to get in. I would have seen that you called. Oh, Brandy.
Yeah, you don't scroll on a home screen, unless it's notifications, I guess. So Deandra's like, well, I think, Mother, what I would like to do is, like, follow a certain president that was from my state who had a son who was also president, and he is not a tree. He is a, you would call him a blank, a Hanukkah blank. It's like, Deandra, we are no longer playing pyramid. Oh. George Bush. I need to speak in a kinder, gentler way, okay?
And Andy's like, oh, yeah, that president you worked for. She goes, don't you miss him now, Andy? I was like, oh, my God, are you not a villain enough without like, mentioning your politics right now? You just need to be quiet over there. Why is no one just telling
Deandra? He literally just died. Oh. So Leanne is like, I would do a lot of things different, but I would continue on the journey to being a peace-filled person. I was like, that's not a do-over.
Yeah. And then she disses Mama D. She's like, you know, Deandra, I think that sometimes Mama D puts pressure on you and forces you to see things in a way that's not healthy. And I miss being able to protect you. It's like, what? Okay, so now you just threw the old lady under the bus and admitted nothing, right? So yeah. Then
Andy just goes, that's nice.
That's nice. So then they all end with a shot of the Spitfire, which is tequila and fireball. Gross.
Yeah, and Cameron's foot falls asleep. Like, Cameron's foot has the same attention span as her brain. She's like, I'm going to stand up right now. Oh, my God. I feel sparkles on my leg. Oh, wait. It's asleep. I fell over.
Fell over. So, everybody, that is the end of The Real Housewives of Dallas this season. What a great season. Thank you for that season. Bravo. Bravo. Yeah. Bravo.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of Dallas, do come to our second show in Dallas. It's going to be amazing. The first one sold out already. The second one, we added a second one. So if you missed your chance to get tickets to the first one, come to the second one. I think our Boston show sold out while we were recording this. I'm fairly certain it did. Either way, just go to our website and check out what's available. And we're so excited. Tomorrow we are back with Real Housewives in New Jersey. Top Chef will be on the bonus for next week. And then it moves to the main show. I'm really excited for Top Chef this week because I saw on Twitter that the quick fire challenge is make a meal about Gail Simmons.
It is not.
It literally is like, make a meal about Gail Simmons.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you? I made a pretzel made out of, did you mean to? Okay.
I'm assuming that everyone will just be making pudding. Am I right? No, no pudding.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow or later today, depending on how we're feeling about Real Housewives of New Jersey. We sure love you guys.
Turn your distractions off and discover your new favorite podcast. This is Bose Recommends.
Hello, this is Simon Mayo, just chipping in to tell you about my latest podcast, Simon Mayo's Books of the Year, and what a privilege to be part of the Bose Recommends project. So, what you hear is great authors talking about their books. Coming up, Lee Child, Anthony Horowitz, and Ian Rankin. You can listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your favourite podcast app, where you can find past episodes with Ben McIntyre, Kate Atkinson, Sebastian Faulks, and Graham Norton.
Enjoy your new favourite podcast without distractions. Discover how at Bose.co.uk. Bose. Focus on.